Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Yeah, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
It's about fucking time someone else is.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no fuddy-duddies that a Lincoln bat. For the show link, go direct to DLNGS.org. And ICChallengeAnalytics.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
They got him.
Oh, man, I pressed the alt. I turned off my mic. Welcome to episode 1018 of the Lenny Sling Tech Show. Hopefully glitch-free tonight. We have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe. We did have Joe.
He's there.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear
yes.
you.
And
I see Murph lurking around there.
Hey there.
Yep.
You know what? I'm going to save my stuff maybe for later. Let's hear your stuff, Joel and Murph, because you are at OLF.
Yep. I was only there for a couple few hours. The only thing I did was I roamed around the very small expo. And then I went and saw Murph's talk on federated social networks or the Fediverse. And one thing I learned from his talk was it's not just Mastodon. There's so many other things that, are out there now, other than, Mastodon, which is Mastodon's the Twitter-like thing. He talked a little bit about Identica, which we all were on at one point. and see, I'm trying to think, remember all of them. The one that there's even a YouTube like, federated network out there as well. So, those are kinds of things that I did not know. PeerTube, that's the, YouTube like one, PeerTube. And you can set up your own server and then federate. And, you know, of course, on the Fediverse, there's no one place that, unlike Twitter, Facebook, and Threads, and all these other centralized services, the federated services, there's no one place for you to have an account. It's more analogous to email. So, it was a good talk. He ran it on the Pi 400 that he won at OLF last year, which actually worked pretty well. With exception of the crappy conference Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it was a good show. There were a lot of good talks. I liked some stuff. The NixOS talk was interesting. I didn't know much about that. I had heard a little about it. It was good. Guy talking about being a Linux-based artist was interesting. Joe Zonker Brockmeyer's keynote about open source can't win was good. Not as down as it sounds like it's going to be, but it was good. I did a Birds of a Feather talk also on the Fediverse and Mastodon, and that was more conversational with a bunch of people. It was good stuff, and I had the talk on Saturday. I feel like it went pretty well. I missed some things I wanted to talk about, but you know, given the time available and the number of, you know, I had a lot of good questions, so it was a good time. And Mad Dog Hall wrapped it up with a good talk at the end, so it was a good show. It was well worth going to, and I would recommend next year people show up there.
Yep. I'm still kind of warming up a little bit to the new venue, although I will say the new venue is much smaller than any venue they've ever had before. I think it's much smaller than when they were over at the Hyatt, and the definitely than from when they were over in the convention center proper. But it's kind of, it's at the Hilton there. It's kind of weird because they got part of the Hilton. There's really two towers on the Hilton. There's one on the west side of High Street, and then there's one on the east side of High Street that's literally connected directly to the convention center. So, so it's kind of a different arrangement. It's that whole area, Dan, has changed quite a lot. The old the parking lot in front of the North Market is gone. They are in the process of building, I think, a new hotel tower there for another hotel. But the North Market is still there. You still go into it. I, unfortunately, because my time was so short down there this year, I didn't get a chance to go to the North Market. But, hey, I can go anytime I want because I live here. So one of these days I'm going to have to go down there and get me some. There's a ramen place in the North Market that I've been meaning to check out, which sounds pretty good. And I mean good ramen, not cheap ramen, you know.
So, Joel, something to keep in mind. The space was a little smaller, but I think it was appropriate to the size of the crowd, which I guess they...
Oh, I do too, yes.
They based on pre-registration. There's also plenty of room to grow there. There were a bunch of rooms in
yes.
that area that they could grow into. So it's not
yeah,
like they're
yeah.
in any danger if they want to expand the program. They shouldn't have any trouble at all getting the space they need at this point. Uh-oh, everyone got quiet.
And Joel will talk about this.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was a good location. They've got good rooms. The AV setup was good. In fact, this year they even did a best effort recording in the second room, which in the past they never had. So they're working on expanding what they have there, which is a good thing. I don't know. I see they have a lot of promise. I hope they can get the word out and start expanding back to where they were. And I think that's certainly feasible.
Right. Yeah, I think like certain things on it, I think like the expo area is going to be much more community oriented than it used to be. Less corporate interests are going there. You're not seeing the IBMs and the Googles coming in there and putting up booths. It's not going to be as large as it was. I don't think for a long while, but the rest of it might be just fine. No, I think the only criticism I have is that main room, Fiora's room, which is where Merch Talk was, they did a live stream on the YouTube, and you can go watch it, but instead of breaking it up and stopping it, it's just one big day-long stream.
Aren't they going to break that up over time and put it in as pieces? I mean, it's there now because they had it immediately. I think they're going to break it up into the different talks and gonna give them a little time. That's a time consuming process.
Yeah. I hope that's what they did. I think they did that last year as well. Cause it's gonna be, unless you had I guess you can look at the conference schedule and kind of guess in the stream where it's at. Merce is fairly easy cause I think there's only maybe one or two talks before his.
If you're looking for mine, it's on Saturdays, and I believe it's at about 2 hours, 11 minutes, because I took a look today when I found the stream. I sort of wanted to see how it went, and it went pretty smooth. I was okay with it. When you're up there, it's hard to judge how it's going.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, but I mean, it's really, really good. The AV setup is much better, I think, than they've had in the past, for sure. But
yeah, they did a nice job with that.
Let me see. I need to find my pictures of the. I took a couple pictures of the expo area. I know the FSF was there. Mad Dog had a table. And unfortunately, it's behind 64 car pictures that I took at the church car show thing. And that went well. That went really well. Let's see.
I'm trying to see who you were up against there.
I was really happy with the spot they gave me. I was up against Rocky Linux, how it started and how it's going. But with the time slot they gave me 11 o'clock on Saturday, which is right before the lunch break. And that's just prime time. I mean, right after the lunch break, you're in the everybody comes back late. Yeah, he's in a coma zone. Right before lunch is the perfect time to be up. So I was really pleased with that. And there were maybe, I don't know, Joel, did you look around the room? I had airplane lights in my face. The lights were so bright I couldn't really see. But I'm thinking somewhere around, what, 65, 70, 80 people in the room?
At least, I think. I mean, the not kind of nice thing that they did do is, especially if you had a laptop and you wanted to have it open during the speech, they had tables behind the chairs, so that you can do that if you really wanted to.
Yeah, you had to get out a screwdriver to get to the outlets, though. But I was ready to do that, so I pulled out a screwdriver and pried open one of the outlets when I needed it when I was sitting back there.
Right.
Who's this Bob Murphy guy?
This Bob Murphy guy, yeah.
Some goofball that gets up and does talks.
Oh.
Yeah.
They only had two tracks?
Yeah. There was a third, like, part-time-ish track where they were showing some LPI essential stuff, like, off of YouTube, which I thought was a good idea. It was sort of a place you could break out back there and, like, if you didn't want to be in one of the big talks.
Okay.
Right. So and, see vendors.
Much like I am here, I sort of crassly got my way into the U-Random podcast they recorded there between stuff. So.
Oh, I just noticed this. It looks like there was another conference in the expo area for DevOps days.
I didn't see that either.
Yeah, well, it's just a table. Nobody's sitting at it, so I assume there's just flyers on the table. I didn't grab much. When there wasn't that much swag, if any at all.
Well, of course, it wasn't big corporate stuff. It was smaller things. So, you know, when you've got Rocky and Alma Linux and the FSF, you're mostly talking about stickers and pins and pens and stuff.
Yep.
You didn't have SUSE was there, and they had some stuff.
There was a Tunas/IX systems booth. Mad Dog had his Linux Foundation booth, and Rocky and Alma Linux, and that was it.
So there wasn't a Sunday, right?
No, there never has been.
No, they were always Friday, Saturday.
Oh, right. I thought there was just like stuff on that. That's Self then, right? Self does Sunday.
In the past, they've done stuff like a couple of things on Sunday, but it was never a full program. They only had one or two things. Right. So,
well, they've had a fuller program in the last few years, because they used to do, I think it's still there, and it's usually Fridays. Friday, so I guess Friday is when they usually pick up schedule. I don't think they are still getting there.
Is Joel cutting out for other people?
No, Joel sounded okay to me.
Oh, it must be my connection.
Must just be you.
Yeah, no, it sounds like you're roboting a little bit.
Oh, it well,
must,
could
must
be
my connection.
Or Joel could be a robot.
Wait, what day did you get in, Murph?
I got in Thursday night.
Okay.
Because I wanted to be there for the whole thing. I was messing
Friday,
around. And it's like an 8-hour drive, so I took I actually had a rough day on Thursday. I worked a half day, left at noon, got there around 9:30. Actually went to Kroger and got some stuff back to the room, checked in, and I was all wired to be on the road, so I didn't get to sleep till like 2, and woke up, did the whole thing on Friday, and then Sunday, my wife got tickets with her family for the Giants game here in New Jersey.
Oh.
So I got up early on Sunday.
Holy
crap.
Got
in the car. I was on the road at 6, drove back home, and then went to the Giants game at the Meadowlands. So
and
I drove like 600 miles to see that game. Yeah, I drove 600 miles to see that game, which was kind of a disappointment.
Yes, it was.
Was that,
and
was
you know,
that a
I really,
hour
I,
drive, 6 hour drive?
No, it's like an eight and a half, 9 hour drive.
All right.
And I gotta stop every so often. My back and other bodily functions need to be taken care of. So, But, see, now I don't have a football team that I root for. I was just looking to watch a good game because, like, her family's all Cowboys fans. She's a Giants fan. I went to watch a good game, and that was a terrible game. Watching them get rolled over was not much fun.
40-0.
Dude, you drove 8 hours to go to a game that you didn't that was like a bummer of a game, man.
Keep in mind, I had to drive back to my house anyway.
Right. Well,
so it was only
right.
like another 20 miles past there, but I did 600 miles of driving the day of that game to get there. But I would have had to drive 548 of those miles regardless. So
no, I know. Really yeah. Now, did you just go right to the arena? Or the state arena? The stadium? Or did you?
No, I had time to come home and unload the car and, you know, I got a little bit of it, but I didn't get to take a nap or anything. I just, came here, unloaded my car, sat around for a few minutes, and then boom, we're off to head out there. So it was a rough day.
Yeah.
Man, that's something. So Friday, you get there on Thursday. Friday, all the fun begins. Now, did you go to all the talks on Friday?
I went to a decent amount of the talks on Friday. I didn't go to everything, because there's certain things I wasn't that big on, so I would just sort of wander. I was trying to haul track a little more, try to pretend to be social, which is difficult for me. Stuff like exploiting the IT value stream, iterative automation strategy, I didn't feel like sitting in on that, so I was sort of wandering around doing stuff.
Did you go to the Arduino meets Raspberry Pi?
No, that was too much programming first thing in the morning. I couldn't deal with that.
So it looks like on Friday they had one track of talks, and then there was the other thing was the introduction of containers and Kubernetes, which seemed to be going
Lullify,
on
right?
all freaking day, and then LPI Linux Essentials on the other one.
Yep.
Yep.
You go to the you went to the happy hour sponsored by Rocky Enterprise Software Foundation?
Yeah, the happy hour was between the end of the keynote and when the Birds of a Feather talks were happening, and I had the first Birds of a Feather slot, so I had to be back quick. So I went over, got a slice of pizza, and went back and just sort of got stuff ready. It was good. A lot of people were interested, so we talked about it. I think it would have been better. I mean, the schedule didn't allow it, so I didn't make a fuss or anything. It would have been better to have the Birds of a Feather after the talk.
Right.
Because then I could talk about whatever I want. I didn't want to, go through the presentation during the Birds of a Feather thing because that sort of takes the conversational part of it out, and then it leaves nothing for the talk. But it was still good. A lot of people came, it was sort of, and I threw out on Mastodon, I said, hey, if you want to do a mini Mastodon meetup, we'll do it at the Birds of a Feather. And a couple people, I got to meet some people face to face. And a couple of guys, from the old days, X1101 and Thaj were there. I don't know if you guys know them. They were both there and I,
But who was
chatted
the second one?
Thaj, T-H-A-J. I see them online a lot. They're good guys.
Okay. I'll take your word for it, Murph.
An important
You know what? I just want you to know, Murph. I will take Murph's word for it, who did the Birds of a Feather on Friday, but I'm not too sure about this Bob Murphy guy who did a presentation on Mastodon and Fediverse Saturday.
Yeah, keep an eye out for that guy. He's not okay.
Yeah.
So why two different names on the schedule?
I'm going to leave that to your imagination, Dan.
Okay. Were you actually there on Saturday, Murph? Or was that your alter ego?
I was there. But,
he was.
That's great. So how many people came to the Birds of a Feather?
Again, I don't recall exactly. A good solid couple of dozen.
Oh, that's good.
Two dozen, maybe a little more. I don't know. I didn't take attendance or anything.
Well, it's good that your Birds of a Feather was not up against Vim.
Well, you know what? the Birds of a Feather that was supposed to be after mine didn't show up, so we were there for hours. We actually, they were closing up the room on us. They're like, hey, we're putting the chairs away. We're knocking the, you know, the wall between the two areas down. We're like, okay, I guess we got to leave now.
So I guess that would be, your Birds of a Feather went from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Something
or
like
10
that.
PM, I guess.
I mean, you know, it was informal, so there was a lot of just, you know, bullshitting about stuff going on afterwards.
Right.
That sounds like a really good time, man.
It was good. That's why I would recommend it. You know, it's gotten a little smaller. It's not as big as it was back in the day, but I think they've got a really good community vibe going, and it's worthwhile to go to.
Yeah, it's made a lot of improvement, since Moose was involved, I think anyway. And I did see More Dancy Among the Living, so he's still around.
Good.
Yeah, he's doing well.
Yep.
Did you go to the after party?
I did indeed.
How was that?
It was okay. I turned into what I normally am, which is the awkward, couldn't get into conversations, just sort of wandered around for a while. And then, Werner, who's one of the people that organized it, pulled me aside and gave me some really nice compliments on the talk and, sort of broke things up a little bit, which was good. But then I couldn't stay super late because I knew I was getting up at 6 in the morning to drive all day.
Yeah.
But I did it.
Yep. Sometimes those are the best trips when you have to do, you know, that early drive.
Yeah, it would have been nice to take a little slower morning and then drive and then get home when I get home. But you know what? Circumstances demanded otherwise, so you do what you got to do.
Yeah. I've done that for sure.
Now. Crap. It's not you. It's me.
Ah.
Oh no, it's Joel.
Yeah, it's Joel. Oh no, it's Joel.
Always
Sorry.
Me. No.
Sorry, it's Joel. What was the, so it was, I thought it was on the roof. For a second there, but you crossed the sky bridge and was on the second floor in the atrium. Was the food good?
Yeah, the food wasn't bad. It was like make your own tacos, so they were pretty good.
Who doesn't like tacos? Right?
Yep, not bad.
My next question. What was I going to ask? What was my next question? So, I talked about the after party. Besides introduction of Mastodon and the Fediverse, what was your favorite talk?
You know, I have to say I liked the Nix talk. Nix I always found was interesting. I tried installing it. And keep in mind, I've been using Linux since the Slackware days. You know, you guys know that because you know me from way back. I got Nix installed, and it was like a normal installer, and then I tried to do anything after that, and I was completely confused. And I was actually playing with it before I left to go there, you know, like the night before. And I got all confused, and I said, you know what, I need this to do things for me. I wiped it and put Debian on it because I couldn't figure out how to get anything installed. And the guy showed how it worked. But there was a lot of, oh, it's so simple, you just do this, and he writes some code into a configuration file in the Nix programming language, which is what you need to configure it. And I'm looking at it going, that's great, and it answers some questions, but I have no idea how I would go about doing that, because I don't know that programming language, so I'm going to be unable to do anything useful with this for quite a bit.
So which one was that again? Which one was that?
So
again,
take a look. 2 o'clock on Saturday, Nix OS from basics to DevOps. So Nix OS looks really interesting. It's still
Wait, on
got
Saturday?
On Friday.
Oh, on Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was
All
the
right.
one that made me think. I mean, the keynotes are great, and both Joe and Mad Dog always do a great talk, and they were interesting. But that Nix OS thing, you know, like got me thinking about stuff, got me thinking about way configuration works and stuff like that. It was really, really well done. But I feel like I was over my, like I kind of got it, but I was over my head. But the guy even said, like, the documentation isn't so good. And in fact, he wasn't even that charitable. And, it's got some really rough edges on it. So I didn't feel bad about not getting it. And it's something I'll play around and get back to, but not right away. I got other things to do.
Cool. Now my question that's been on my mind that's not specific to OLF, but what the heck is Rocky Linux and why should we care?
Okay, Rocky Linux is fulfilling. You remember what CentOS was before Red Hat brought them out and changed them?
Yes,
Rocky
Linux is.
And just to give you a little background, so Rocky Linux is still going down that road. They want to be bug for bug compatible with Red Hat Enterprise Linux. Alma Linux is taking a slightly different tack. What they're doing is they're mostly going to be RHEL, but they're basing themselves off of the new CentOS, and since they're not trying to be absolutely bug-for-bug compatible, okay, they can push out some fixes before RHEL does. Like, they even tried to push some stuff upstream, and they accepted some and didn't accept others. A little bit of a controversy there, but when it comes down to it, Alma Linux is trying to be a half a step ahead of RHEL as far as some stuff like some bug fixes and stuff they can push out before RHEL, which when you're trying to be bug for bug with RHEL, you can't do that. Rocky is staying bug for bug with RHEL, so they will not be pushing updates in front of when RHEL pushes them out. And given the way Red Hat has changed their attitude towards the people doing the compatible distributions, Rocky is going to have a challenging road ahead of him to get those updates out in a timely manner. But it'll be interesting to see the way the two different strategies play out. So they used to be doing exactly the same thing. Now they're doing slightly different things, which I think is kind of interesting.
I'm back. It's what happens when I'm using a pre-release operating system.
What happened?
The whole desktop crashed, yeah. And I could hear you. Mumble was still running. I probably could have finished it out, but I couldn't see anything, though. So, I'm on a 2310, which comes out next month, so needless to say, it's not ready yet, so. But it is very nice so far, what I've been messing with it, earlier today. I did it at lunch. I may go back to stable. Just because, that happened, but, I think I can also switch to Wayland as well. And Wayland might be a little bit more stable for some reason.
Yeah, you know, you're so close to the 2310 release, you could just stick it out for another 2 weeks and then do an update and you'll be up to what their regular release is.
Yeah, in fact, I just updated my package list. I got 28 things that can be upgraded right now. I might see if somebody found the bug on this one. I'm on my yoga book, the 7i, I think. It's a little old, but it's got the one of those Optimus compatible graphics cards in it, so it has NVIDIA and Intel graphics. So that could be why. I don't know.
NVIDIA is always such a dicey operation. I try to avoid it when I can.
Yeah, but this was an old, I had Windows on it before and I wanted the NVIDIA card, for Creative Cloud. So, which can use the, GPU to accelerate things. So, I may just stick it out. You know, it's not like this is not my primary. I don't use this one all the time. So. Anyway. So, Apple had an event. I honestly don't care as much about it as I have in the past.
What?
New iPhones. New Apple Watch. That's it. It, the keynote I did watch had it on the background. It was kind of boring. But, and I had to roll my eyes 500 times because they kept like the ProMotion is what they call 120 megahertz or not megahertz, 120 hertz refresh rate on their LCDs, which if you get the 15 Pro and Pro Max, you get that. But now, the biggest thing is all phones in the world, except for our old ones, now use USB-C. Because the iPhone now does too. But they were kind of forced by Europe. Titanium on the pros, which, whatever. Yep. It's not enough to make me switch from Android at all. For sure. As my only phone operating system, because I have an iPhone for work, but... October 4th is when the Google announcement is for the Pixel 8 Pro and Pixel 8. And I think they're also releasing Android 14 that day as well. So, and it doesn't look like September is going to have any Pixel updates. With the exception of they did security updates on my Pixel Watch. So, and I think they're also supposed to announce the Pixel Watch 2. But I have a Pixel Watch, and I'm liking it. It does... I usually make sure it's charged before I go to bed, because that way I can track my sleep at night. And then I have two chargers now for it. I have one at my desk, and then I have one down in my bedroom that I can charge the watch on. So no plans to upgrade the watch. I'll probably just keep the same Pixel Watch I've got because it'll work. And it's still supposed to get an update for Wear OS 4. And there is something, I have to see when it starts, but if you buy a Pixel Watch now, the LTE version of it, you can get the bandwidth on it for free for, I want to say 2 months maybe? I have to double check that, but it's for Google's 25th anniversary.
If you buy a Pixel, you get a Pixel Watch for free?
No, if you buy a Pixel Watch, the LTE variant, your data plan comes with it for free for, I think, I want to say 2 months. Let me double check. That's what's killing me with that. Is I wouldn't mind one with LTE because then I could literally probably just load up a podcast or two on my watch and then leave my phone at home if I go for a walk. But.
Well,
how much is a Pixel Watch? Too much.
I think I paid, yeah, probably. Oh no, I'm sorry. 2 free years of Phi Data. Yeah, for the 25th anniversary. So, yeah, the LTE version is now $339. That is a drop. So that's definitely an indicator that they're going to bring out their next watch. But one kind of nifty thing Apple did add to the new Apple Watch 9 is, say you got a phone call coming in, right? And then you look at your watch and say, oh, they got a phone call coming in. You can double tap your fingers together and it'll answer the phone call for you. So then you can start to talk to them on your phone or your earbuds or Apple buds or whatever.
Apple buds.
Yeah. Which I love that they're doing, like, they have all these gestures in macOS and their watches and their phones and stuff. And I'm like, who remembers all the gestures? Or do you remember just the ones that you use all the time?
You know what? My wife, so my Pixel has a back button on the screen, and my right. wife's, I think it's a Moto, I can't remember what it is, doesn't have a back button. So every time I like pick up her phone to look at something like on a web page, I'm like, I have no freaking clue how to go back to whatever it was I was swipe. On previous. And I don't know what the swipe is. Like I tried different kind of swipe and it doesn't work. So I just give up and I feel like an old man. I feel like I'm an idiot because I don't know how to do it. And it really annoys me.
You see, I, on my Pixel, you can turn that bar on or off now, and I have it off, and I just swipe right if I want to go back a page, swipe left if I want to go forward.
The problem I have with that is their mail program in particular also has swipes to do things, so it's hard to tell what you're going to get. If you swipe from the left-hand side of the screen to the middle, what's going to happen? Is it going to move your mail message, or is it going to move back? They've overloaded the gestures to the point where I enable the buttons on the bottom just I have an idea of what I'm going to get when I do things. Now, if I swipe, at least it's going to be the in-application swipe actions, not the operating system where who knows what you're going to end up with.
Right. Now, one thing I have noticed was, I think it was a recent Facebook update that did this, but if I'm in Facebook, I use the keyboard, the Google keyboard. It used to be, if I wanted the keyboard to go away, I would do, there's like a little arrow on the left-hand side of the bottom of the keyboard. I would just tap that and it would go away. It doesn't happen now. The only way I can make it go away is if I swipe up near where the conversation is, and then I can make the keyboard go away, which is just strange. But, there's that, and, the gestures, Android has those too. Apple does far more of them, I think. But I just think, if you ask my wife, well, what's the gesture to do this on her iPhone, she doesn't know. She just knows how she uses it. It's just like, when Apple invents words for normal everyday things, marketing terms. So like, instead of a 120 hertz refresh rate on your LCD, it's Apple ProMotion. It's like, okay, whatever. Everybody else has that now too. In fact, there's a lot of Android phones that have it on low-end devices, but you don't have it on your low-end device, i.e. the normal iPhone. You can only get that if you're on the Pro or better, Man. But, and it's 10% faster and has 5x zoom now on the zoom on your phone for 5x optical zoom. Cause they figured out some Prisma thing to do to give you a longer path and, all those are things that most of the iPhone people that I know of, the ones that are diehard iPhone people, don't even care about.
And cameras?
Cameras.
They were innovators. They did it first.
Yeah. I mean, I've only had 4x zoom on my Pixel for ever since I had it. Oh, and I did need to see the news stories. It is time for Joe to buy a new phone. Because the next OS update for your Note 10 is the last one.
I'm not surprised.
Well, it is 4 years old, isn't it?
Well, it's like 5 now, isn't it?
Yeah, close to that, I think.
It's been time to get a new phone probably for a while. It's just, you know, phones are really freaking expensive, and I don't need another expense right now, and my phone works.
I had a Pixel 5a, and the only reason I replaced it, it was due to get its last update in like 8 or 9 months. I dropped it and smashed the screen, and the price of the replacement screen wasn't worth it for the short time it was getting. But I picked up a Pixel 6a for $300. It's not a bad deal. It's a decent phone, and it'll get updates for a while.
Yes, it will.
Really, I do like Samsung, but the prices for like the 23 Ultra that I would want, which is, you know, their Note replacement, it's a little bit insane.
Yeah.
T-Mobile offers a lot of those plans where you basically don't pay for the phone or you get the money back for the phone, but I'm on an extremely like low cost plan because I'm a veteran, and it doesn't necessarily qualify for all of the different Uber savings on phone prices.
Can you? Oh, so basically, they don't give you a discount on the phone as a veteran.
I mean, like the as big of a discounts as they give the people that are on their super expensive everything plans. But my plan still has, you know, unlimited everything, so don't really care.
Right.
But I have, what, 5 lines now, and I'm paying, like, $10 a month?
Yeah. I will say, you know, like, there is one thing Apple could do that would make me switch. And the only reason I say this is because I hate pricking my finger. And that's if they add glucose monitoring to the Apple Watch, I would definitely switch to an iPhone and an Apple Watch.
Like a generation or two back, but it wasn't medically certified?
I think they talked about it a generation or two back, and it turned out it was considerably harder than they expected it to be. So it didn't actually, hit the world, I think. I could be mistaken in that, but that's sort of what I recall hearing.
Yeah, they're still working on it. There's probably FDA approvals they have to get. You know, I don't like pricking my finger, but it's actually, that's just it. I mean, I'll do it if I have to, you know, but it's like, if there's a way that I can just wear something, you know, I guess, well, if I could get my insurance to pony up for the Dexcom, then I just wear the sensor, but, you know, I just don't like the idea of having something stuck somewhere else on my body for
that. I'd love, like, continuous O2 monitoring. That would be nice.
That too, yeah. Yeah, my Pixel Watch, they have added the O2 monitoring, but it only takes the measurements at night, which is fine, you know, but my old Wise Watch that I had, I could just tap a button and get my O2 right then and there. So, you know, so, and that's, I think it's getting more important nowadays since we've got COVID and other stuff endemic, that you want to keep an eye on that, especially if you get COVID. If it starts to drop, then you probably want to go visit the ER. But especially if you have like comorbidities like I do, so. But general, I'm going the right direction. So, now tomorrow I do have tomorrow afternoon I have an appointment with a kidney specialist. So. Pray for me there. I don't, I don't think there's anything going on, but he'll tell me. So we'll do whatever I have to do to keep my keep from having to be like our friend Link, who has to give himself dialysis every night. So,
yeah, best of luck.
Yep. I'm feeling better. I will say this, like, right around the time I went to the doctor, I was kind of feeling off. So maybe I just had, like, an infection or something and he didn't catch it or something. I don't know. But, it wasn't running a temperature or anything like that. But I did have, like, a pain in my back right around where the kidneys were. And I'm like, oh, shit, maybe that's what what's going on back there. But that kind of has gone away. I've tried to drink a little bit less of the diet soda, although I do still drink it. So that's why I'm kind of buying the Liquid Death sparkling ones. It's a little bit better. By the way, those flavors on the sparkling Liquid Death are sweetened, but it uses agave. So it's a relatively, it's not going to raise my blood sugar kind of a sweetener. I've tried the severed lime and the mango chainsaw. They have a berry flavor. I'm not a fan. Yeah. I don't like berry at all.
I like the berry.
Do you? Okay.
Good.
The only kind of time I ever drank any berry flavored things was back in the day when I drank those white coolers, the Bartles and James back in the 90s, but and they have a melon one, which I'm like, ugh, no. And they just have plain, which I should try the plain, because I will drink like the plain LaCroix. So
why not just drink a glass of water?
Well, yeah, that too.
He has to go to the sink to get it. And it's easier just to pop it in the fridge. The fridge.
My fridge has a water dispenser in it.
Oh.
Yeah.
When was the last time you replaced the filter on that fridge?
A month or two ago, I think.
Oh, so it doesn't smell like an old box of baking soda that's been sitting in the back of the freezer for 3 years, right?
Yep. Well, the nice thing with Amazon, too, I mean, I guess I could schedule those things, so that they just automatically ship every 6 months. That's about the replacement cycle it is. It's about every 6 months you got to replace it. I usually just end up waiting until the light comes on, though, and now I'm like, oh, shit, okay. Let me go ahead and order one. And then it gets here in a couple days. So. Amazon, it's like, I know they raised Prime. It's above $100 a year now for Prime, but it's worth it.
Something. Yeah.
I mean,
as much
it's
as
worth
I use
it.
Amazon shipping, yeah.
God, yes.
I mean, to order my own stuff, yeah, but also to, send gifts to, like, my dad, stepmom.
Yep.
But my wife and my stepmom are big into, like, the one book series in depth.
Right.
The author on that? Jackie? Who's the author of the in-depth series? J.D. Robb. And so they're both into it. So I will, like, pre-order the book, and then Jackie will remind me to also pre-order it for my stepmom, and then she gets it on the day that it comes out, so she doesn't have to wait 6 months to try and get it from the library. And it makes her really, really happy, so...
Well, and then I like it. I don't buy a lot of clothes on Amazon, but if I find something that I like say if I bought a pair of khakis or something that I liked at JCPenney, and I wanted another pair but in a different color, I'll go to Amazon, see if they have it, and order the exact same size. That way I don't have to go to a store to get it. But yeah, it's yeah, I never thought I would order stuff from Amazon like I do, as much as I do, but I do. I mean, it's every paycheck I'm ordering something usually.
Ordered some more filament. I mean, easier than going to Micro Center. I do like going to Micro Center. The problem is if I go to Micro Center, I'm going to shop.
Yeah.
So cut out the middleman there.
You can play the Micro Center game. If you can go in and get what you need and get out without buying any extra stuff, you win.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to win that game, so
I'm
not
never
going to
win that game.
I've won it a few times. My record isn't great.
Yeah, because they got that Raspberry Pi section over there, and they're going to have Pi Zero Ws, and they're going to be $15, and I'm going to be like, what's one more?
If they have them, which they haven't the last few times.
I go online every now and again and check the inventory, and they had them.
I've got one less than a half an hour away, so the browsing potential is too high.
Yeah, yeah. I got one like 20 minutes away, 15, 20 minutes away. And me and Jackie are trying to, you know, get out of the house more and go hit up like the movie theater a bit more often. So we went and saw Blue Beetle the other day, and we really enjoyed that. And the thing is that we like to go to the Alamo Draft House, and it is basically like a couple of blocks from the Micro Center. So if we go to an early movie, we're gonna hit up the Half Price Books that's there, and we're gonna hit up the Micro Center.
It's like Friday. I'm probably gonna order a set of nozzles and silicone socks for my CR10 Smart Pro. I think that's one of the things going on with my printer right now. Although I have one spool of Overture that I printed a whole bunch on, threw it back on to try and use it, and I'm having all sorts of problems getting it to stick. And I even was feeding it through the Sunlu filament dryer I have. It still was sticking. Or not sticking, I should say.
That's one of the problems I'm having right now. All the problems that I was having before with it being way too damn hot for me to print.
Right.
Well, like this week, it's been like high 80s.
That's not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. And it's so much better. I've been able to work out in my garage. I've been able to 3D print things. But the problem is that I need new desiccant. So I did order some new desiccant for my dryer.
Yeah.
Really good price on that.
Actually, so, I'm going to have to order. Yeah, that's only like $17, I think, for a big jug of it.
Yeah. But
and you can microwave it to renew it.
Yeah, and I probably will do that with some of the desiccant that I have and slide it back in there. But, you know, I'm still having problems, a little bit of problems with heat creep, but and a little bit with random clogging and beading. So I'm assuming now that it's not the heat anymore. It was the heat that was originally causing the problems. It's the fact that I live in swamp country. I replaced the nozzle a couple times.
Okay.
It's the fact that it's so freaking humid here, and I had to wait so long between prints because of the heat that I really, really need to dry my filament. So that's why I ordered, just a cheap little thing of desiccant, so that way I can run my filament dryer, because it's got that spot in the bottom for the desiccant, and dry things out and get it running again. But now, while I'm waiting for that, I might switch to the orange-colored filament that I have.
Right.
It's still in a sealed bag, so that should be relatively dry.
Yep, that's what I did. I had a same brand, but brand new box of green, and I printed a temperature tower. I did have a little bit of problem with it sticking, but I just lowered the distance to the bed, and it kind of did better. So
I also
discovered a hairspray that I was using.
Any more hairspray?
I bought some a brand I'd never used on it, and nothing but problems with it. So I went and I got it.
As adhesive for the bed, as you know, my garage smells like the 80s.
Yeah. I got some Tresemme extra hold. The net seems to work a lot better with it, so it's less gooey than like the other stuff too.
This dollar store can that just kept lasting and lasting me.
Hairspray. Yeah.
So I'm probably going to ask her to go and pick me up some more.
You
or
know
ask my
what?
Daughter that works at the dollar store, my daughter that works at the dollar store to pick me up some.
You know what? I do need to check that because maybe they might, because what I found is the, like, you buy the cheapest ass hairspray that you can find usually works better.
Yeah. And because of the heat creep issue that I was having,
right.
I decided to I had previously like 3D printed one of the Talon coolers.
Okay.
So I put that on there and moved a couple of the fans that I have over. I had like one new
right.
fan, but I need like two because instead of using the blower fan that the other one has, it uses two of the 4010s. But I only
okay.
have like one extra of the 4010s.
Now I do.
So
I do have a spare print head, but I'm trying not to use it. I'm trying to, you know, really wait until I really fuck it up. You know,
I have a spare one as well that I could switch over, but I probably
right.
also need to. Or so yeah, fans you can get really cheap. So I'm actually going
right.
to upgrade it to like 4020s, even if they're
there
louder. I don't really care. It's never
right.
really quiet in my garage. But I probably need to order some more of the heating elements and the thermistors just
right.
to have those on hand. Oh, and I'm modifying it so that I can quick swap the fans instead of having to break it down to the board.
Well, there you
go. I've
right.
got some,
connectors.
Just some, yeah, I can't remember the type. They're actually barrel connectors instead of the... Yeah, so they're really easy to put together and take apart. I just want to make sure that they're marked so that
nice.
I know which one's which, so I don't accidentally
yeah.
put the part cooler in the front instead of on the
right.
top.
Now, see, my Sierra 10 Smart Pro uses the Sprite direct drive extruder, right? But when you buy the replacement head, it doesn't include the – there's like a circuit board that goes on the back of it. What I need to do is I need to order those parts and then just put it on my spare. That way, if it goes completely kaput, I can switch over to the other one. Plus, I might also, when I do that, I may also swap the nozzle, to get a bigger nozzle so I can run that for some of the larger prints. You know, like a 0.6 or
okay.
something like that.
Yeah, it's just a pain in the to switch it out all the time if I want to
yeah.
do a more precision part versus
yeah.
you know a bigger part, and you can get pretty
yeah.
good precision with a 0.6. But there are just some things that come out
a lot better if you do the 4. Yeah.
Yeah, with the 0.4. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I'm not a huge fan of switching them. Yeah, but you know, but if the way they, if I get the board and. I think it's all I need. I think is there's a circuit board that goes on the back of the extruder and put that on there. It's literally two screws, unplug the ribbon cable, throw the new one on, you know, take it off, take the old one off, throw the new one on, put those screws back in, reconnect the ribbon cable. It's that easy to swap.
I might go for like one of those mods where, cause I got a little bit of cap. Corn left. I don't have enough to
right.
actually like do the whole thing. One of those mods where you replace the inside, just the short
right.
piece at right at the end, right up against the nozzle.
See,
and
I want to do that on my old one, but I also need to do it with either print the mod with either PETG or ABS.
Yeah, the only problem you get there is that if you replace the nozzle itself. It falls out.
Right. Yeah.
So
there's. Yeah. That happens
slide,
too.
You got to slide that in there, and then get the nozzle in, and then you have to make sure you have the right amount of squidge between all three
mm-hmm.
pieces instead of just two pieces.
Yep. I've done it with the PLA version of it, and it doesn't last. So, if I do it again, What I would love it is if somebody just made it in metal. That would be great.
Ben Sleeve.
Yeah.
I think they do.
There might be somebody that does.
You can buy the throats for those.
Right.
That are all metal, and it'll just mount up.
Yeah. So, and at least now I can feel more comfortable tearing apart my old one to put the fans that I've had sitting here for a year in it, you know, because if it takes me, you know, more than a few hours, or if I, you know, or if I get paged, or you see what, you know, where if I don't get it back together, I still can print, so.
Yeah.
Eventually I need to do that.
Even if I end up getting, like, really cheap, really loud 4020 fans, eventually right. I can go back and replace them with, like, some Noctuas or something, and it'll be super silent.
Yeah, one of the ones I ordered was a Noctua. These are the fans for in the control box. The one that's on the printhead's fine. But the ones that are really noisy on mine now are I got bearings starting to go in some of the fans, because that printer's quite old. So
yeah, I still had all the parts from, like, my old printhead was on there before I replaced the whole thing. Like, I paid the $28, got the full assembly, and got it on there. And I had used the fan from that, the 4010 fan from that originally. And,
noisy.
No, it wasn't noisy. It just was spinning extremely slowly. So I saw why I had replaced it previously. So, like, super freaking slow. But it showed me that the other fan wasn't as bad as I thought it was. So I did have another fan that I had purchased because I was just going to replace the fans. And then I ended up using it for a project. What was it? A fume extractor. So I ended up taking apart that fume extractor, and it already had the barrel connector in it. So I ended up using that. Yeah, I've heard a lot of people. It's been very exciting.
Yeah. I do have some technology talk in regards to work. What we're looking to do now is move out of Circle CI for our WordPress VIP instance into GitHub Actions. And we now have a test repo for doing that, because we can't really have both of those things going on. And my concern, both of those tools enabled, my concern was we're not ready to go into GitHub Actions yet, because we have to basically replicate everything that we did in Circle CI under GitHub Actions, which means that for our end-to-end integration testing, have to figure out a way to basically run the application, and that by and large means a container of some sort. So in what was nice about Circle CI is they had made available two containers that were easy to tie together. One was a database container, in this case MySQL, that we're using. And the other one is a PHP image container, which I was able to then, after running the container, do some further work in there to get our stuff installed, which was a rather lengthy process of putting together, made all the easier by the ability to SSH into a Circle CI container, that an instance that is running in the job. So what kind of makes it like we want to move away from Circle CI is very dependent on branches and commits. So it operates on pull requests and then commits to a branch. Whereas we have a little more flexibility on GitHub Actions, where we're able to manually fire off a workflow and do other things like that. So we're not restricted strictly to operating on commits and pull requests. Ultimately, what it is that we want to do is gatekeep what goes to production and then get things into our development and staging environments as fast as possible. And it's really difficult to do that in Circle CI when we have to run this on three separate branches and there's no manual control. Anyway, what I spent the latter part of last week and the early part of this week doing was just trying to get a container running that as easily as I possibly could, that was basically had everything we needed to use. Now, I may switch this, but I started with my idea was, let me just do an all-in-one container with, a LAMP setup essentially is what it is, because I need it running WordPress and I need to have a database and I need to be able to, do whatever it is. And it wasn't as easy as I thought it would be. It wasn't also as difficult either, and I learned a lot of things along the way from how we usually build our containers for running Node applications. One of the things I learned is for this to work for end-to-end testing or for us to be able to run the application, I'm very much restricted by the fact that when we authenticate, and it authenticates through Okta, that comes back on a certain domain, and in our case it's gnet.test. So the container needs to recognize that it is gnet.test. And what I had done in Circle CI and kind of what we do locally in Vagrant is there's an entry in our hosts file that points gnet.test to localhost. And I did the same thing in Circle CI, but I can't write that to the container's Etsy hosts file. I probably could after the container was running. What I was trying to do was build a container with as much of it set up as possible, because what ended up having to be done on Circle CI with the images that were provided was that ultimately what I had to do with their container was to install a bunch of packages like X frame buffer and stuff like that for Cypress and Chromium, headless Chromium, which is required, as well as, different requirements. Like the container didn't have a web browser in it, so I had to, and the web server. So I installed Apache in there, which I believe is what they're, I don't know, but it was the easiest thing to do. And getting all that set up and the version of WordPress that we're using had to be installed and the HT access file had to be written and the WP config file had to be written and all these things that had to be that were being done in the actual, when it runs the CircleCI job, it handles all that from the base container. I wanted to take as much of that as possible and just shove it into a container that we can just pull down and use. And I was able to get it to that point and realize that I can't write to the Etsy hosts in the container like that. Unless the container's when we're actually running the container, I could. But to have it preset up, I actually have to pass that in the build that it's, what is it, allow host or something like that equals, and then pass the name and the 127.0.0.1 that it goes to. You know, so all that stuff. And it was a container that has had MariaDB installed. What was it? It was a Bullseye container. And it was it started with a PHP 8.0 container. Originally it was 8.1. And so it installed MariaDB, it installed Apache, it set the password, username and password, it created the database, and then, it's created the HT access file, did the necessary configuration for Apache in there, installed all the packages that we needed, installed Node, used NVM. Actually, I did NVM on there to install Node 14. I hope someday we get it to a newer version of Node, but I had to do the NVM, so it has Node 14 in there. And one of the things once I got this put together, I also, part of the way that it's set up is it's a WordPress directory structure. So, generally speaking, WordPress, when you go to install WordPress, it's really simple. It's essentially grabbing the latest release, putting it in a place where it's going to be served by your web server, and that's it, right? You configure the WP config, you have the database information, and at the basics, that's it right there. So that is fairly simple. But our stuff ends up going into WP content, which is a directory underneath the WordPress, which is where you go. And in WP content, there's a plugins directory, there's an MU plugins directory, and then there's a client MU plugins directory. So all our customizations go into client MU plugins. Any plugins that you generally want to install, like third-party plugins or whatever, generally go into plugins. And then the MU plugins is the place where the VIP stuff, customized stuff that they have built, that goes into there. So I initially wanted to get the MU plugins pulled down into the container. Because what has to happen then is once you get this all set up, when you launch the container, you have to mount the repository, which is what the contents of WP content is supposed to be, into that location of WP content. So that gets mounted on there. Then, when you're trying to add the MU plugins, which is the VIP stuff, it's a bit of a pain in the ass and a time, it's very time consuming because it's a rather large repository and has a lot of sub repositories to it and all this stuff. And it takes a little while to get installed. So my brilliant idea was I'm just going to slap it in the container somewhere and then I could just do a sim link from the WP contents, MU plugins to that location, which did work technically, like the symlink was there, but Apache was not able to follow it, and I wasn't 100% sure why, because it just didn't work, right? Even though if I was in the container and I looked at it and looked at the permissions and everything should have been fine, it didn't work. So, I switched over to just pulling down our repo and then doing what we did locally before, which was pulling down the VIP stuff into the MU plugins separately, then not including it in the container. Eventually I got it working. It worked really well. Well, let me rephrase that. It worked, but it's slow as shit, right? It is just god awful slow. And it fails a lot of the end-to-end testing because it's timing out, because running it in that container like that is slow. So I'm working on that. I may see about switching to a separate database container. I'll see how that goes to link the two. But I wanted to pull the container together as a proof of concept, using a Docker build. What I should probably do is kind of get a better, has anybody used Docker Compose?
Yeah.
I've never used Docker Compose, and I'm wondering if that's the way that I should go for building that container.
That's a good question. I mean, I'm using it mostly by finding the incantations I need for Docker Compose to create what I need to. But I'm also using Portainer as well. Where I use containers the most is my Raspberry 3, which has got my MB server on it. So we don't have containers at work yet. We're not going there yet.
Wait, so is Docker Compose for building a container, or is Docker Compose for... Yeah, okay. So maybe I should look into using Docker Compose instead of just a Docker build file. Maybe it would be a little smoother.
Docker Compose is send... I think it generally builds that file, I thought, and that's what you type, you know, like what you put in to when you're trying to build a container. I don't know. It's been a while since I messed with it. I know I used it, though.
Because I'm wondering if it would make it easier for configuring certain things. Now, what I did find out, like,
could be.
I get props to the Docker stuff, but, like, the biggest issue that I had with trying to choose a container is, like what container do I want? Do I want a PHP container? Is there a WordPress container? I didn't know which one I wanted. I think I settled on a I forget what it was, but I think it was a PHP container. So the PHP container obviously doesn't come like with a web browser, like a web server in it. I know you can get Apache. So no, I got the PHP with Apache. It doesn't have like the database connectivity with it, the modules that you need, but you can just install those with like Docker mod install or whatever, PHP mod install, which makes it super easy to add that stuff in there instead of having to build it yourself. Because once you have like all the containers, like, I'm not going to say it's the container, but like, it seems like the distributions went, with the containers for PHP, went from like installing the repo version of PHP, like in Debian or Ubuntu, they went from installing a packaged version of PHP to building PHP from source and installing that into the container, which means if you wanted to get anything else added into that, any of the modules, you kind of have to either do the Docker module, PHP module install thing, which is really simple to do, as opposed to otherwise you would have to get like re-get the sources and rebuild PHP with that module enabled, because there's no other way to get it. You know, like the MySQL module that you would need for PHP. You can't, like, you either have to build it because PHP was built from source without it, and you have to rebuild it, like reconfigure and build it, or you could just use that Docker thing, which is pretty easy. But anyway, so it was fun. I'm still plugging my way on that. We just got access to the repo, yesterday afternoon, evening, that new repo. So now I'm like, now I got to get things rolling in it and see how that does with the GitHub Actions. I'm curious to see how badly my container runs in GitHub Actions. I'm not hopeful that it's going to run any better than it did locally. Maybe it will. I don't know. I would like to see it maybe pass a few tests and not time out, you know, go from that way. But we'll see. And that's that.
Interesting.
But there we are.
Yep. Go back to old Syslog because it happened again. And yep, org GNOME shell desktop killed by Signal 5.
Well, on your new Ubuntu system?
Yeah.
Tell you what, man, you should take that, what was it? USB stick, SD card, CD, DVD, whatever it is that you installed Manjaro on and slap that son of a bitch in there.
Yeah, if I do that, I may switch back to a Manjaro with GNOME and not KDE and Wayland, because I had, like, for example, good example is Wayland for some reason doesn't let me use a key on the keyboard for push to talk and mumble. It just doesn't work.
Really?
Yep. The only way I can do push to talk is if you can have it display a window and you can click the window as your push to talk button, which is a pain in the ass.
See, I don't know. I'm using XFCE here, so right. I don't know. But I'll have to try it on Slack.
It's a mumble. Yeah, it's a mumble issue. It's not fully ported to Wayland just yet. So
that'll do it.
Yeah, or to run reliably on Wayland, I should say. But now I might switch back to 23.4, which is, you know, somewhat stable. This is a nightly, so I mean, you know, I've already installed over 25 packages today. So, I mean, they're actively working on this release, so.
Yeah, you still got another month to go, don't you?
Yeah.
Wait, is it 10? Is it 10 or is it 11?
23.10. Yeah. So it's 4 and 10. So that's when the Ubuntu releases are. So.
Woo!
I do like what they've done. I don't know what version of GNOME this is, for sure. I want to say, you know, they're not using Unity anymore, which, that's their own little thing that's kind of dead. But, it's a nice desktop, so.
It's bedtime, Joel.
Well, it's 10 o'clock.
Yeah, it is. We gotta start wrapping this shit up.
We sure do.
The excitement. Ay, 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 ay. All right. So we got more stuff coming. I'm gonna play us out. Is Murph still there?
Still here.
There he is. Good job, Murph. Did they post the, videos of the talks at all?
Right now they have that all day stream, which is, you know, tough to negotiate around. And I assume they're going to cut them up and put them in as individual videos later, but that takes time for them to do.
That's all they should be doing. It should be done by now, right? You call up Bethlehem and you say your video of your presentation should be done first. Flex that muscle, Murph.
I don't know. I think she could take me in a fight, so I'm not getting involved in that.
You know what? She might be able to take you, but is she going to be able to take Bob Murph? Bob Murph?
Bob Murph.
Bob Murph. You and Bob Murphy ought to get together and say, look, this is how it's going to be.
I've seen him. Don't care for him.
All right. I'm going to play this out. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Murph. We'll see you in a week. What's the, oh my goodness. No, no, it'll still be summer in a week, won't it? Is it the 21st? Is the official first day of fall?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, depressing. I'm gonna miss summer. Alright. And, here we go. Here are your promos. Maybe not.
I am short.
Oh my god.
Why is that so far behind? Here we go.
I am short.
Oh my god.
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Hey, Poo Young in the kitchen. In the dining room having sushi.
There we go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. I can get this shithole down here cleaned up. I need to reorganize and redo all these systems. Get a more streamlined thing going on down here.
Yeah, really. Looking around, that place is a mess.
It is. It used to be nice and clean. This table is atrocious. It's got like,
and wait, hey, is IRC
parts all
up?
Over the place. Yeah,
I tried the LinuxLink.net, right?
I'm on it. Dave Yates is there too, but he's always there. Murph was on it last week. You can't connect to it?
Nope.
That's weird because, like I said, Dave Yates is connected to it.
6697, right? Standard port, right?
I'll jump back in now.
Yeah, no, 6667. Yeah,
that's
Murph's there now.
Problem.
Yeah, I've ran into that too for some reason. It's like they switched it to 6697 and it's always been, six, as far as I know, 6667. All right.
Let me edit that.
Woo! And get out of there, because every time I leave that open.
There we go.
I love this keyboard.
Oh, I gotta fix something else, yeah, because it thinks I want SSL.
Yeah, I know. This is probably could get SSL going on it, but I'm lazy.
Wait,
we haven't had
SSL
any super chats assholes come in a while telling us to come over for the best sports super chats.
There it is.
To make you happy.
No.
Why didn't I press the backup? I thought I pressed the backup recording on that one.
The heck? Actually, I don't know if it's the GNOME session or X crashing because I saw something else with that too. In the syslog.
So, Dan, did you actually record this, or on the one that I actually talked on a little bit, you lost it?
No, I recorded it. I have it.
Yeah, Dan's the Dan is the recording man.
Good thing, because after ripping up Ohio Linux Fest for their recordings, you better record it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I did record it, but I didn't have the backup recordings going, which is weird. I usually do, but yeah, I have the full audio of the pre and the post on two and all of that in here. So yeah, there's a recording. So we're good. Don't doubt me, Murph. I got you.
Never doubt him.
Oh, I'll doubt him if I darn well feel like it.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to stop this recording so I can get it put together and not make Murph panic.
Dan,
couldn't doubt it.
I found a place I'm going to have to check out here. It's called GCFO, as in faux place to eat.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
Where is it? Like, in relation to where you live?
It's like, over on Georgesville Road, which is a couple exits away on a 270. So 71, let's see. Yeah. So if you get on 71, the first exit you come to is Grove City's, Broadway exit, and then it's the next exit after that. So it's not too bad. It's like maybe 10 minutes away, maybe.
What's the place called?
Well, they call it GCFO or Grove City FO.
I was going to say, is it GC for Grove City?
Yes. Technically, see, now the thing is where it's at, I don't know if that's technically Grove City or not, but it's close enough. I mean, Grove City, my buddy lives just down the way. There's a road that kind of goes behind the shopping center where it's at.
Okay.
So he lives just... If you go down that road, you can get to his house. So it's not too far from me. I might have to check it out. Sundays, Luke's got league. So after church, I might go check that out this week.
Free fall Sunday?
I don't think it'd be free. I want to see the rest of their menu.
Is there a self-serve option so you can go for yourself?
Ha ha ha! Wow. Quite a menu.
Let me guess. Pho, vermicelli.
Yep.
I'm
trying to see if they have any banh mi's.
But yeah, banh mi. Dave.
Yes, they do.
I can't imagine that they wouldn't.
They got it. Ooh, that's... I never do. It says Kokok combination on a banh mi, which that's not what I'm usually used to, but the next one is char-grilled pork, chicken, pork loaf, or char-grilled beef banh mi. And they got fried rice, which I don't know. Is that really... Vietnamese. See, they got pho with steak, pho with brisket, pho with beef meatballs, pho with shrimp, chicken, vegetarian, and it says just noodle, which I assume that's just the noodles and the bean broth, no meat. I don't see, like, tripe or anything like that. Crispy egg rolls, too. Yeah, damn, I'm going to have to check that place out and see if it's any good. Sometimes that kind of stuff could be a crapshoot, too, around here. It's either good or it's kind of meh. Looks good, though. The pictures they have look good. Of course, I'm looking on Yelp, so.
Ay, 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 ay.
Setting my audio up on Ubuntu 2310 was a lot easier than on Manjaro. It just kind of worked. Here, I put the link to the Yelp page on that fun place. I wonder if this is in where they used to have a Chinese place in that same strip. I think it's in where that is. Yeah. Oh, and they just opened last year. Huh.
Ay, 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 ay. Ugh. It's hot down here today.
It's comfortable outside right now.
Ay, 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 ay. Ay, ay, ay. Alright. Wait, did Joe show up yet?
No.
Oh, let me start the stream.
No. There you go.
There we go. The stream started. And... do not see Joe yet. Just get... get this going. No. Yeah, there. Get that going. Make sure the audio works. What do you think? What happened to Murph?
Uh-oh. He's going into listening mode.
I had enough talking this weekend?
This talk was good. I'll talk about it.
Quarter pound of meat in his mouth.
Is that how he gave his talk? With a quarter pound of meat in his mouth?
No.
Yeah, that would be no, Dan.
Absolutely not. How was the rest of it after I left there, Murph? Sorry I had to leave. It's just bad timing of everything.
I'm glad you made it out at all. No, it was good. I enjoyed it. It was... all day Friday, all day Saturday, good stuff.
I do have an account on pixelfed.social right now.
What's that mean?
Thanks to your talk. That's Federated Picture Social Network. Using PixelFed. Which you can build your own server if you really want to.
And what's the advantage to that? I guess listen to Murph's talk.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, you could make a tilt pixel fed, and then you could put Hoagie Guy pictures up there, and no one would be able to stop
me. No one stop me right now, Murph.
Hoagie Guy. Is his page still on MySpace?
The Hoagie Guy page?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Is anything on MySpace anymore?
That's a good question. I haven't been there in forever.
I mean, I believe MySpace is still running, isn't it? Let me see something here.
If I remember right, you don't really want to see the Hoagie Guy.
Nobody wants to see the Hoagie Guy. One second.
Put that away! You're still listed in Urban Dictionary. The Hoagie Guy was a frequent attendee at the various racquetball clubs in the Lehigh Valley during the mid to late 90s. Although he could still be attending to this day. Get your dryer squared away, man.
That's nice.
Yes, it is.
All right. Let's see here. If I can do this.
There's Joe.
How's it going?
I switched from Manjaro to Ubuntu 2310. That's how it's going.
Fuck you, XFCE. Detects both displays. How dare you? Right? Am I right?
Sure.
We take this off. Hold on, I'm testing something out here.
Testing.
And then we'll be ready to go. Hoping that this will work. Ah, there we go. Beautiful. Excellent. Alrighty. Now we're playing with fire, Joel. Now we're playing with fire.
You got a fresh 8-pack of liquid death in my... No, liquid death. Severed lime. Sparkling water.
No, I know what it is. Their advertising slogan is death to the can, right? Or death to plastic.
No, murder your thirst.
Murder your thirst and then hashtag death to plastic, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
What is it? Is it just regular water or is it just... Is it?
They have regular water, but I have the sparkling water with the... That also has lime in it. Lime flavoring.
Does it, Is there like actual flavor in there, or is it just?
There's actual flavor.
The hint of the LaCroix.
It's not like
style
LaCroix. It's not that style. It's actually got more lime flavor in it than the same thing in LaCroix would. So it's much better. Looking at Murph's bike and motorcycle pictures.
That's there. That's, I don't need that.
Did you ride on the back of Murph's motorcycle to OLF?
He drove. I think he had an affair at the Meadowlands. So he told me. Oh, and he's married now too.
I can see you rolling up on Murph's, hopping off the back of Murph's bike, and he's like, go get me a drink, Joel. And you're like, you got it, Murph.
You cannot see that, actually.
No. Are you kidding me? I've been wanting a motorcycle forever, and the wife is like, you're not doing it, because I had a relative who was stupid and wore a dress on a motorcycle, and then they wrecked, and she got tore up from her ankle to her coochie.
To her coochie?
Although I don't know. Well, that's what I say. That's not what my wife would say. But that's how far she was injured up to.
I mean, she was, like, permanently injured, was she?
No, she healed. I mean...
You sound disappointed.
No.
Oh.
Actually, if I got one now, I probably wouldn't get, like, ye old standard two-wheel. I'd probably get a Spider, I think, or the Riker, one of those two, the three-wheelers. If I got one. I'm past the point of hearing whether people think I'm cool or not, because I already know I am cool in some ways, and I'm not cool in other ways. I don't care.
Why don't you care, Joel?
Because the important people like me.
Who's that?
My wife and my son and my church family. Gonna go get my butt kicked at Tabata tomorrow. Doing that at church.
Trivago.
Tabata. It's basically like 20 minutes.
Oh yeah, you were telling me about that.
Yeah. 20 minutes of an exercise and 10 minutes of rest. And you do that for about, I think we do about a 4 cycles. And the nice thing I like is the people leading it, they're kind of switching it up, so it's not always the same exercises. The stretches we do at the beginning are, but like, we did wall jumps, last week, push-ups, which I kind of cheat and do my push-ups off wall because my knees suck. Planks. We did some lunges. Hammer curls. I don't remember everything. What'd you say, Joe?
Work that brachial radialis.
Yeah.
Hammer curls.
Yeah. And then we did stretches, stuff like that. Although, last week I kind of skipped the gym in the morning. I think tomorrow I'm not going to. I think I'm going to go do my cardio in the morning. Then in the evening I'll do that. Taking my stupid work laptop and phone with me, because I'm on call.
Ay, ay, ay.
And I'll be here next week, but the week after, I'm in Virginia, resting.
To see when the excitement begins.
Well, that's where I have very, very long days, because, you know, we'll be 9 to 5 in the office, and then we'll be going out to dinner and crap like that. And then I climb to the hotel room.
Da, da, da.
I heard the story about McDonald's removing their self-serve fountain machines. And I'm like, and just sat and thought, when was the last time I actually sat inside of a McDonald's to eat? Like, years ago.
What are people spending like 10 hours there or something, just refilling their drink over and over again?
God, I hope not. That's a lot of pop, even if it's diet.
What is the point of removing that?
Well, I think it is. I think the fact is people really. I mean, there's probably more people getting delivery and drive-thru than are people sitting in the restaurant now. I mean, the only time I ever sit in the restaurant is like if I'm on a. Like, see, if I'm driving from my house to my dad's house and I want to get something to eat and I don't feel like eating behind the wheel of the car, I'll go sit in the restaurant. But it's not going to, usually not going to be fast food. It might be something like, O'Charlie's or, something like that. You know, that's if I do that. Many times though, I'll just pull a sandwich out of the cooler and eat that. So I don't have to stop, and then I only have to stop to pee or get gas. And I only have to do that once, technically, usually. Although, if I'm not too aggressive on the gas pedal, I can make it, well, I can actually make it on one tank of my Traverse, but it's usually close to sucking fumes by the time I get to Knoxville.
Wait, I thought you were talking about resting.
Oh, resting? No, I'm flying there, man.
What airline you taking?
Good question. I have to look. I want to say United, but it's direct flight, and it's nonstop, so I don't have to change planes. I'll be in the resting by. Like, before even 8 o'clock in the morning. Let's see. Yep, United Airlines 3430 from CMH to IAD. 1 hour and 20 minutes.
All right, we should probably get the show going.
Yes, we should. I think it's an Embraer 175 or 170. Those little commuter jets.
Oh. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Alright. Boom. Anyway. Alright, so this is 1018. Let's get the show going. Murph ain't got all freaking night.
Hell, I don't have all freaking night.